Hey guys, welcome to the Martial and Healing Arts channel. I'm Rafe Kelly, founder of Evolve Move Play. I'm extremely excited to be sponsoring this channel. Martial and Healing Arts have been key aspects of embodiment and self-cultivation for thousands of years. I have some of my best friends in the industry, Rory Miller, Matt Thornton, Edward Hines, presenting here, and I'm really excited to share what they have to say with you guys. You're gonna love it. So Evolve Move Play is an ecology of practices of movement, mindfulness, nature connection, and community. And within the movement, we have a big emphasis on moving in nature and being able to do parkour. We also like to lift weights and throw things around, but there's a huge aspect of martial arts, and I've been training martial arts since I was 6 years old. So it's really exciting to be able to sponsor this channel in particular. If you're interested in my work, check out my talks on the Main Stage and the Movement Anatomy channel. If you can't get to either of those live, you can check us out at Rafe Kelly on Instagram, get all your awesome embodiment giveaways, and for now, just enjoy this amazing channel. It's gonna be an awesome show.
Paul is the founder of Embodied Touch Bodywork, Bone Yoga, and Bone Yoga Bodywork in New Zealand. Paul has a whole brief of different trainings and qualifications, and this has allowed him to combine his various trainings into what he offers us. According to Paul, his focus of his work is to help people to find for themselves new ways to be present in the world with more ease. Simple as that. Personally, Paul tells me that he has a passion for hemp. He has supported his daughter in creating what he believes are some of the best organic hemp seed products around. They're just about to launch in the US. The name of the company is Pink Seed Co. and we'll be sharing the link shortly. So over to you, Paul. Welcome.
Thanks, Bhavna. Am I on screen? Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Hi, and thanks. Thank you very much. What an amazing conference. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to watch a lot of them, but I have certainly tuned in. And it's a fantastic array of people communicating their passions. And that's what I hope to do in this hour. I've got quite a lot to get through, really. And I think really, in many ways, it's a taster for you rather than you going away knowing that you know what I do or how I do it. Or so it's hopefully it will open up for you some curiosity. So for me, the idea is that I'll talk a bit about what I do. I'm gonna show you PDF. With some written things. So we're going to go through that. And then we're going to look at some touch principles of touch and of engagement, how you can engage, disengage. And we'll also look at doing some Qigong and some yoga at the end as well. And I'm also looking at going into the coffee group at the end. So if you want to chat more, then that's an opportunity then too. I think I don't really need to say a lot about myself, but probably about 6 years ago, I was quite seriously ill with a prostate, super enlarged prostate. Our family is blessed with having super large prostates. And I was quite ill, went to see the specialist who said to me that I'd be back in 6 months and he'd have to give a bore. And I had acupuncture. I am an acupuncturist, and I went to see an acupuncturist who helped me a lot. And I said to the urologist that I'd come back in 6 months and see you, but I'm never going to see you again. I'm going to sort this out myself. And I kind of really didn't have any idea how to do it in some ways, apart from just doing the things that I were being careful with in terms of my diet, lifestyle, and decided at that time that I would start doing yoga every day. For a year, and I did yoga every day for a year. And during that year, I also qualified as a yoga teacher. And after that first year, I decided I'd do yoga every day, twice a day. And I've been doing that now for 5 years. I never miss out on a session. And it's the only competitive part of my yoga is that I do it every day, because my yoga for me is non-competitive. During that time, I was involved with body work called Zero Balancing, of which my friend and colleague Richard Walters is going to give a talk on as well. And I decided that I needed to do, instead of having body work done on me, that I wanted to actually look at how I could do a body work on myself in relationship to the way the skeleton works and in relationship to the way that I understand movement of energy through the skeleton, through the tissues of the body. So I came up with a system and I called it bone yoga. And basically bone yoga goes through, it works every bone, every joint in the body, with a gentle engagement into the ligaments. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. And then from that, I went and created the bone yoga body work. I moved away from the zero balancing world to focus on this work. And it now is under the umbrella of embodied touch body work. And I'll also talk a little bit about that as well too. And just a quick heads up for you guys, if you do have any questions, please do write in the chat or and I'm happy to answer questions as we go along. So maybe Maggie, if we could play the PDF, that would be really good now. There's a lot that I'm going to go through. So this is tasters for you. So we're sharing a screen with the PDF. So embodied touch body work. So I'm going to talk through what I've written down and maybe just expand on a few things as well. One of the things that I really like, and when I was working with my good friend Tim, who's here on the panel as well, making the profound simple and the simple profound. We thought this was a really cool way to express what we were doing, that things are simple, profundity isn't something that's complicated. And there's a common thread for the things that I focus on, and one is looking at letting go of the old habitual patterns. And in many ways, that's by creating clearer patterns of force field in the body. And this is either done through touch if you're a body worker, or through doing the bone yoga and in relationship to the way that we work with bone yoga. So it's about touch, movement, embodied principles of engagement. There's qigong, there's breath work, there's bone yoga and bone yoga body work. And if you could go to the next page, please. So how to work more skillfully and consciously with touch, and it's all about relationships. So I think if I can say in my work, and I've done a lot of things, that my hands, that what I'm really good at is touch, is that kinesthetic engagement and teaching. I've been teaching for many years and worked really hard with a lot of my colleagues to deepen my understanding of how touch in terms of a lot of things, including where things are stuck in the body, the emotions in the body. And we look at clarity of touch, we look at how we can engage and disengage. And a lot of these things, a couple of these exercises we're gonna go through about how we can have clarity of touch and engage and disengage. And so that the what I like to teach is yoga and qigong for myself, for my students, but also that they can also teach that to their clients as well. So one thing that we recognize is the body stores our emotions, and we look at how we can release those old habitual patterns within, partly within the skeletal system, but also within the soft tissue and the fascia as well. We look at simple techniques of how to become more present with less tensions on all levels of body, mind, spirit, how to engage the structure and energetic components of the skeleton. So this is quite key, particularly in the world of zero balancing, of which I was part of for probably 30 years of my working career. It relates to if you're an acupuncturist in the sense of the sthira and sukha, which is the structure and ease in the body, and recognizing the importance of that mind emotions and how they can affect the body tissues. Learning ways to generate energy of flow for self-healing, skills and tools for life challenges. So, and for me, that life challenges, that my practice in a way is not for my daily practice, and I know that it is, but it's for when things start to become a bit tough in my life, and then I can call on those as skills to support me. ways of being that override old physical and emotional habits, ways to repattern physical pain and discomfort, increase awareness of ourselves physically and emotionally, and different breath works that stimulate the parasympathetic nervous system, rest and restore. And the benefits of having this body work is deep relaxations, letting go, and sometimes there are profound psychosomatic breakthroughs as well as we start to engage. So can we do the next page, please, Maggie? Thank you. So importance of conscious touch. And the exploration here includes embodied touch, engage and clear disengagement, clarity of touch and boundaries of touch. So for me, I think that embodied touch and I like the name embodied touch body work, because the more that I can embody the relationship of my touch with my client, the more I can find out what's going on in the tissues and be in a clear relationship. So there's a relationship between my touch, what I'm feeling, the feedback that I'm feeling also in my body, and there's this kind of reciprocal of relationship that we can work with. So how we can direct energy, how we can disperse energy, increase energy. There's, we could call it therapeutic touch, conscious touch, or meaningful touch. So things that we look at, how supportive we can be with touch, working with attention and intention, touching the bone, soft tissue. So bone is really important in the work that I do. It's been my focus for about 30 years working on the skeletal system. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but also the soft tissue and fascia, and also ligaments as well, that are important part of the way that we move skeletally, how we can release tension, working with emotions, ways to deepen our contact. And there's also lots of advanced touch work, which includes alchemical touch work as well. If you go to the next page, thanks. Embodied touch, body work, touch, connection, meaningful. So it's about relationships. It's about being purposeful with your touch, connecting, being meaningful, being respectful, open, receptive, inquisitive. But there's also a continual adapting of touch. And I think probably one of the most important aspects of the touch and the clarity of touch that I've been taught and that I use and teach is a safe touch. And that touch can be is incredibly reparative and can override old patterns of unsafe touch. There's a listening, there's an in touch, there are clear boundaries, and there's a sense of being present and grounding. It's not non-judgmental, and people can go into these altered and expanded states. So there's a multitude of things that happen for me when I work with touch in any one moment. And they include that safety, that includes boundaries, includes being non-judgmental. And these kind of touches and these kind of engagements that we have is creates phenomenal change in people. When I can engage and touch someone and be non-judgmental, the power of that on its own can be really quite transformative as well. Could we go to the next one, please? Thank you. So relationship in touch is to act and to respond. So there's always that relationship that's going on. I'm hoping this is not going too fast for you guys. I'm going to go through this quite quickly because I want to do some hands-on work as well and to do some yoga and qigong. It is natural and instinctive. So there's this knowing, this instinctive part of us that we know how to touch. When you touch your child that has hurt themselves, you would come up with to them and you would touch them in a way that comforted them. We know this intrinsically but we can also learn it and we can become more skillful at it. And that's one of the things that that I like to do, is look at how we can be more skillful in the way that we touch and engage. Therapeutic touch, it's all about boundaries, and there's a monitoring. So when we work with people, how do we know where there's change happening? There's observable change, energetic signs of change. There's this witness state that I'm in when I'm working and observing energetic changes, of which I can't go through today, I don't really have enough time, but there's some an amazing changes that we can observe, plus under our hands as well. And can we do the next one, please? Boundaries of touch and clarity of touch. So I'm going over this again, the importance of having clear boundaries of touch. You know, when you're with people that you come away and you feel that their energy is impinged upon your energy, and you go, oh, every time I'm with that person, I kind of feel that their energy is impinged upon me. And you know, when I've had people work on me where I felt that their boundaries of touch have not been very clear, and it can be quite disturbing. We're going to look at these in terms of a concept and see if we can, in this short time, give you a little bit of a taste how this also works. So, and this clarity of touch is really important for your well-being and client's well-being, and that integrity as well. So it's clear, it's purposeful, it's present, boundaries. And so I'm always aware where I end and where my client begins. And so my client is also aware of that distinction between me and them. So we're not blurring the energetics boundaries of engagement. Okay, next please. Thanks, Maggie. So we're going to go do a few exercises. So basically, I'm in this hour, I'm going to be teaching you stuff that would probably take 2 or 3 days, actually longer. So it's a taste, and I hope it will really more stimulate your curiosity than you maybe thinking, wow, I've really got this, but maybe you'll also get it too. So streaming, so I'm going to look at 3 different types of touch. And the first one I'm calling streaming. Next one is blending, and next one is boundaries of touch. In the zero balancing work, the boundaries of touch is called interface. And it's so let's go back to streaming. So streaming is when energy is coming from my own battery source or the battery source of someone. So if you think about that person in your life where you have contact with them and you feel, every time I'm with that person, I feel drained, or you give yourself too much to your children or your grandchildren and you're always feeling drained. So you're taken from your own battery source. And this streaming is one of the most common reasons why people have burnout when they work in body work and work with touch, because it can happen inadvertently. If you understand touch and you can have clarity with touch, you could work with streaming in a way that could be useful. But if it happens without you knowing it, it can be had quite serious consequences. Like I come home from work, and every time I massage that person, they go away and their shoulders feel good, and I come back and I have aching shoulders. So you're picking up from that person. We're going to do a tiny little exercise on streaming that is going to be quite difficult if you're on your own, but we can have a sense of how it might work, because it's better doing this in pairs. If you do have someone handy that you can grab, you can do that. Or if you're with your partner watching this, you can do these exercises in pairs. And then there's blending, which is the merging of the boundaries. So blending is used really successfully in cranial sacral therapy. And it's really the blending of two of the boundaries, so that your energies are merging. And that merging, when you're holding the sacrum and the cranium, and you start to merge and you get into the rhythm, and that boundary supports you, that merging supports you in that way. And then we'll just look at having some clear boundaries of touch. So actually streaming is really difficult to do on your own. So I'm gonna just describe that again, so that if I'm with someone and I'm doing a massage technique, if I was doing that, and every time I do this effluage technique, I'm taking up their energy and it's coming into me. And so if you're with someone and you want to do some streaming exercises, you can do this as a purposeful thing. So understanding that is really crucial. So if we look at blending, and you can do this reasonably successfully on your own. And so a way that I would suggest you do that is if you just hold your arms in this way, just very gently, if you can see that, but do it in such a way that your touch is really soft. And so you don't want to engage too much of the tissue, and you don't want to engage too much of, go to bone level, and just hang out there with the softest of touches. And probably just after a while, you kind of wonder where your left hand is in relationship to your right arm and vice versa. So your energies of both hands and both arms are merging. Again, this is way better to do this if we were in pairs. So this would be a way of blending. And then if we go to the boundaries of touch, if you just have your fingertips in this way, like this, and you have a bony connection, and if you feel fingertips to fingertips and you have a sense of I'm pulling against my fingertips, there's a clarity of touch. I've got down to a bone level, and that's very different. So I know where my fingers of my right hand end and the fingers of my left hand end. And these are the kind of things that we explore. So the difference between merging, the difference between, or blending, the difference between having this clarity of touch, or in zero balancing world called interface, and then understanding the principles of streaming. So I hope that's kind of given you a little taste. Richard, thumbs up if that was all right. It was kind of worked all right. Yeah, this is quite difficult to do in this really short period of time. Can we come back to the next PDF, please? Okay, yeah, stay on that one just for a moment. So we're looking at having bone-to-bone contact. So having clarity of touch, if you're at bone level, is often a lot easier than having a clarity of touch if you're working on soft tissue. If you're working on soft tissue with a clarity of touch, tends to be, you have to use a bit more of your focus of intention to stay with those clear boundaries. Can we go to the next slide, please? Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about the range of motions of a joint, and just briefly again. So this is also quite a mouthful too. So you've got a total range of motion of a joint, which is the green line, which means that's the total range of motion that a joint can do in terms of, but if you go that far, you're going to damage a joint. The blue line talks about the voluntary range of motion, which if you just look at my hand, you don't have to, put me on the full screen for this, but this is my voluntary range of motion of my wrist. And then if I do this and engage it more deeply, I come into the red one, which is the end range of motion. And if I push a little bit more, I come into the involuntary end range of motion of a joint. So part of this is to do with we're looking at ligament and fascia. But if you look at the voluntary range of motion, we're looking at this being conscious. And if you look at the end range of motion in going into the involuntary end range of motion, we're moving from consciousness to subconscious, because it's not something that we're consciously able to do. So part of the work that I do focus in on working through the skeleton is engaging and feeling that relationship between the bones, the ligaments, and the energy that's flowing through the skeleton via the joints. This range of motion you can also apply to the skin as well. If you are taking up some slack in the skin, if I was to press down onto the skin, and you might also want to do this. A kind of interesting place to do it is where you feel some soft tissue back here. So then if I were to press in and first of all feel either my skin or the jumper, and then if I press a little bit more, you can feel that there's that kind of loose skin. And then there's that kind of rebound where the energy starts to push towards you so that there's a bit more of a relationship to that. And then if you go in a little bit deeper, then you get into a place where in the work that I do, you start to have in a working relationship. So it's a working relationship that has a real quite yummy engagement. I think that's the end of that. Have there been any questions? Anybody want to ask anything? We can leave that PDF file now. Thanks, Maggie. Do you know if there's any questions?
No, there's no questions.
Cool. That either means that it's really good or no one knows at all what I'm talking about. So either way, I'm going to carry on. So part of the training that I'm looking at, that I do, is looking at how I can teach people bodywork, but also they can embody it. And there's a number of things that I will share with you now too. And Qigong for me is a really important part of my practice. I do Qigong every day, and I think that it sets the tone for me. And I'd like to share with you guys just three really simple Qigong exercises that I think if you were to do every day, it would change things for you. And we recognize that everything has a consequence. So if you do something that is healthy, it has a consequence. If you do something that's not healthy, there is a consequence too. So let's, if we can come to stand up. So I'm going to take probably about 5 or 10 minutes going through this. And if you're new to working with Qigong, then just go along and we'll try and just do the best that we can. If you're familiar with Qigong, pretend you don't know nothing or don't know anything, excuse me, and because I might be teaching it slightly differently. So without going into things too much, I spend a lot of time standing. So my suggestion for you, if you're happy to do this work, and please stand up and share with me, because it does make a difference if you have an experience of this, is come to a standing position and feeling your feet on the floor, having your feet slightly parallel and around about fist width apart. And this takes us directly in line with our hip joint here. And I know that you probably spend a lot of time, if you're doing yoga practice, standing and having an appreciation of standing. But maybe imagine that this is a real, that there's lots of new insights that you might be able to gain, or this is the first time you've ever done it, or just some appreciation of inquiry. So feeling your feet on the floor, contact the feet. There's a yielding to the floor, and there is a support that's coming back to you from the floor. Your heels, sides of your feet, balls of your feet. And just very gently, a micro movement, allow yourself to go forwards and back, but just enough so that you start to feel the fascia in your body starting to engage. So it's not going to take you right over so that you feel you're falling over, but just a little bit back and forth. I spend a lot of time practicing standing. They say that Tadasana is one of the hardest yoga exercises to do. And then come back to a place that for you at this moment feels neither forward nor back. Come back to the sensations in your feet. I'll make lots of suggestions for you. Please choose to do them or not do them. And if my suggestions don't work, come up with your own. But try and soften your feet and feel the sensations, if you can, in your ankles and soften in your ankles. And then you have a relationship between ankles, the two bones in your lower leg, tibia and fibula, and then your knees, having your knees just very gently unlocked and having a sense and that appreciation of the two bones in your leg that are there to keeping you upright. And then from the knees, your femur coming up to your hips. And also that appreciation of your huge bone in your upper leg helping you be in your uprighted position. Your hips, sacrum, lower back, softening your lower back, your spine, sense of your shoulders dangling on your rib cage, your thoracic cage, and also just come into your position of your head and your neck and just see if there's a place where you can place your head, neck, that has a sense of ease for it. So what we're trying, what we're working towards is how can I stand with as least amount of physical effort as possible? Because if we're off our center, it does require muscular work. And now a tiny little bit of oscillation left and right. Again, just enough so that you feel the fascia engage on one side and then the fascia engaged on the other side. Maybe you feel it to your hips. Maybe you feel it in your knees. Maybe feeling that rolling sensation, feet on the floor. And then again, come back to a place now for you in this moment, feels neither forward nor back, nor left nor right. Again, softening bones in your feet, feeling that connection with the floor and that reciprocal energy that's supporting you, softening your ankles, going to your knees, softening your knees. And again, having that appreciation of the two bones in your lower legs that are keeping you upright, softening your buttocks, thighs, feeling that sensation between knees, hips, and your femur bone as well that's keeping you in your uprightedness. And you might find that you can feel tension somewhere. And is there something that you can do to help let go of those tensions? Your lower back, mid back, upper back, your scapula dangling by the side of your body. Have a little bit of space between your body and your hands and your fingers gently pointing towards the floor. And again, just a head in your neck. And we're going to go through three quite simple Qigong exercises. But if you just watch me first a couple of times, we'll make it a little bit easier for you. And the first one that we're going to do, and I'll just show you what it looks like, is called lifting the sky. I'll just adjust my thing a tiny bit. So let me go through it again and I'll talk you through it. The first thing that I'm going to do, so I'm going to look down. My arms are extended. My palms are facing the floor. My fingers pointing towards each other. My fingers slightly open. And on an inhale, I'm bringing my arms up, looking through my fingers. I pause. I push up. I pause with my breath. And then I exhale through my mouth. So there's an inhalation through your nose, an exhalation through your mouth. So if you're familiar with this, please carry on doing it, but otherwise I'll talk you through it. So I'm looking down at my fingers, my hands, palms facing the floor, fingers pointing towards each other. I'm inhaling, looking up through my fingers. I pause with my breath. I push up, lifting the sky, exhale through my mouth. In a pattern, it's not going to change, it's the same movement every time. Inhaling, come, pausing with your breath, pushing up, exhale, coming down. And if you just carry on doing that movement at your own pace, if you're doing this at a slightly different pace to me and I'm saying different words to where you are in the movement, just carry on doing your own movement. And now if you want to sort of change the tone of the way that you're doing this, is just allow your arms to float up as if they were floating up in water. So take the effort out of the way that you're moving, allowing that sensation, feeling arms floating up, pause. So there's no right nor wrong here. In fact, maybe I should call my yoga no right nor wrong yoga, because I think it's really important that we don't judge the way that we do yoga. I like to describe, or my yoga has been described as yoga from the inside out. So allow that inside of you to do the movement, allowing your arms to float up as if they were floating up in water. And then if we do that just a couple more times, and when your arms are next by your side, just come back again to standing. See what that feels like for you. Have a little bit of space between your arms and your body, palms facing your hand, fingers gently pointing towards the floor. And again, take yourself on a little journey from your feet, feeling that connection with your feet, going through your body. And is there places in your body that you can let go of? So this uprightedness that you're in is with the most ease and the least amount of effort possible. Having your jaw slightly open, have your tongue just gently resting on the base of your palate. And if you become really quiet in Qigong, it's called entering the way, or coming into the Qigong state of mind, quiet mind as possible. And from here, I'm going to do another Qigong movement, and I'll show you what it's like first so you can just watch again. It's called carrying the moon. So I'm bending forwards a little bit more. My hands are cupped. On an inhale, I'm going to bring my arms up. I pause with my breath. I exhale, my arms coming down. So if you want to follow that with me, bending forwards, inhale, coming up, pause, exhale, coming down, keeping your tongue gently resting on the base of your palate, jaw slightly open, breathing in through your nose, exhaling through your mouth, inhaling, coming up, pause, exhale down. I just love these movements. So I'm inhaling through my nose, I'm exhaling through my mouth. My tongue is very gently resting on the base of my palate, my jaw slightly open. And I'm allowing now the movement to happen just so my arms again are floating up in water. And if we just do that a couple more times at your own pace, as easeful as possible. And then again, when your arms are next by your sides, coming back to standing, top of your head, quiet in your mind. Think about the position of your skull on the top of your neck, your position of your neck, shoulders relaxed, allowing your arms to dangle, allowing your scapula to be soft against your thoracic cage, soften your spine, soften your belly, your lower back, buttocks. Connection between the weight coming down your legs, feeling your femur, keeping you in your uprightedness, and also your tibia and fibula, the bones in your lower legs, and softening around all your joints so you're in your uprightedness with as much ease as possible. Keeping your mouth gently open, tongue gently resting on your palate, and just being as quiet as you possibly can. And I'm not going to do the last one today because there's a few things I need to do first, but just rub your hands together, dab your eyes, have a quick little walk around the room. And then if you can come back, when you do come back, to kneeling on the floor or sitting down. And I'd like to just go through with you a little bit. I'm going to spend about less than 10 minutes doing a little bit of work, focusing on the spine. So I like to kneel doing it in this position. You can sit cross-legged, that's fine. And if kneeling is uncomfortable for you, have a cushion or a bolster underneath your buttocks. And as you're kneeling down, just take a moment just to settle in your position. There's not a lot of adjustment that you can do, but certainly there's a little bit of forward and backward adjustment. There's your head and your neck. And we're going to look at moving the spine, and spine's really important. I haven't got time to go through all the details of the spine, but just so we're going to spend 5 minutes just looking at how the spine works. So my lumbar spine, just to give you a real quick anatomy review, the lumbar spine, the facets of the joints are vertical, which means forward bending, backward bending, sideways. There's quite a bit of movement, but rotation is really small, only about 5%. And then when we come to the thoracic spine, the facets are oblique, which allows for rotation. And then there's, you also get the rotation in the neck. So a suggested way for you to do this is if you place one hand behind your back, the other hand on the opposite knee, keeping your head and torso facing forwards. And from this position, keeping your head and torso facing forwards, if you rotate your lumbar, you can feel that there's some movement, some engagement. So can you, are you able to just rotate, feel that lumbar connection? So what's happening now is that I'm engaging my ligaments. If I rotate a lot more, I'm starting to go further into the end range of motion, the involuntary. And if I push more, that's involuntary. But the way that I like to work is just going very gently into the end range of motion. And when I feel that engagement, then I start to move my thoracic spine from the bottom coming up, and then I move my neck, and then I recoil my neck, thoracic spine, and then lumbar. So if that makes sense for you, we're looking at how I engage my lumbar. So this is pre-big locomotion movement, and then how I engage and move my thoracic spine. And I'm really moving it in the way that the facets are designed to move. And this is pre-big muscle movement. This is not coming into those common kind of stretchy sensations that you feel, but it's more of an engagement and a caressing of the joints and allowing that freedom of movement. Swapping hands over, do the other side. So same thing, looking first of all, just engaging the lumbar. Are you able just to move just your lumbar? So if I was doing some digging work, and every time I throw the shovel, if I do too much rotation at the end of the movement of my lumbar, my ligaments are going to pull back and say, you can't go this far. And there's going to be some tension. So for me, if I'm working hard, I come back and I can focus in on those tensions and they can start to soften. I used to have to go to the chiropractor, osteopath regularly, and I basically don't need to go anymore after doing this so regularly. So it's lumbar, thoracic, neck, recoiling neck, upper back, mid back, lower back, coming back to lumbar. So this is really kind of the yoga from the inside out. It's not looking at postural, but looking at the way that the skeleton works. And then if we just come back to hands on your thighs just for a moment, I'm just going to do one more exploration and then we can have a little chat. So if you place your hands behind your back the first way that you did that, and this time look at moving and rotating and doing this movement with kindness. And just see if that has changed the way that you move, the way that you work. And for me, particularly during these times, these struggling times, working with kindness has been a real important part of my practice, important part of my teaching. So we're looking at rotating the lumbar, thoracic, your neck, and moving with kindness. and then swapping hands over when your back's facing forwards, and again, allow this movement to happen with kindness. Another thing that we explore is moving from the joints themselves. You can work from the space between the joints, the fluid in the joints. There's so many different components to being able to work with the skeleton, not just the bones and the ligaments. And then if you just come back with your hands on your thighs, and it's been a bit of a whirlwind. I've gone through lots of stuff, and I think maybe it's a good time to do questions. It's about 10 to.
Okay. Yes, we do have some questions. People would like to know more examples of touch that we can do ourselves.
I think just being, it's difficult to say just in a moment or two, but I think really having a clarity and purpose of touch, and so keeping touch boundaries. And when we did this exercise, you can practice that with your friends or with your partner, and so that you can learn about how, where you end and they begin. And I think that's probably the easiest way to work. But you can also touch with, and we know this, but with more kind of purposeful emotions. So that if someone is sad, you touch them in a particular way. Someone is angry, you might touch them in another way if you're working with them. The other thing is there's no one way to work. So I know people that at an end of the session, they love having their shoulders rubbed because it makes them feel good. And I also know people that end of the session, they really don't like that. Or you might be working on one part of the body if you're working that requires a certain different in sensitivity than working on another part where maybe you can work a bit more with a bit more pizzazz or a bit more structure to the work. I hope that helps the person that asked that question. I hope that's helpful. I am going to go into the coffee room group afterwards so we can chat there too. Any more questions?
Yeah, one more question. I'm curious to know about the alchemical touch work. Are you practicing it?
I think everything that I do has an alchemical component to it, that there is change that's happening. So what we're looking for is how can I work with my touch, feeling certain sensations and allowing that to, you can build on that. So you can create a pressure cooker. It's a skill. It takes a lot of time. If you're familiar with body work, maybe you can do that, but it's a real skill of having to create a pressure. The alchemists were looking at how you could create gold from base matter. So it's a phenomenal work. I'm really happy to talk more about that. It's a massive subject and a whole, I don't know, it takes at least 4 days of intense work to understand that alchemical work.
Wow, cool. Thanks, Paul. Is it important to coordinate the inhale and the exhale with the movements?
Yes and no. I think that if you're, sometimes I focus on the breath in certain aspects and things that I'm doing. The Qigong is really good to do it in that particular way. But no, you can do it in different, practice, have a look. I do a lot of breathing that is thoracic breathing, or certainly breathing into the backs of my lungs. So when we do the classical forward bend, we often exhale because if we're belly breathers, we'll be exhaling on a forward bend when you compress your belly. But I like to, when I'm forward bending, to inhale the backs of my lungs, because my lung tissue at the back is bigger. And so that I don't think there's any one way to breathe, but there's a multitude of ways, and it's a curiosity. So if you do something in one way, do it another way and see how that works for you. I think that's I hope that's a good enough answer. No right nor wrong, absolutely. No right nor wrong.
Right. Why is that so important for people? And then in brackets they got, especially in the context of a time where a lot of us are isolated and unable to touch others and need to learn self-touch with kindness and compassion.
What was the first part of the question, sorry?
Why is touch so important for people?
Because it's without touch, you know what it's like if you're in isolation. And there's a lot of things that we can do ourselves. I've had very little body work done, so I'm feeling a little bit body work deprived. But I'll tell you a real quick story of when I was during our lockdown and my emotions were taking, there was quite a lot of anger coming up and frustration. And I sat down by a tree and I said to myself, Paul, what are you doing? Why don't, you know, you teach movement with kindness. Why don't you approach your own emotion and your own feelings and being kind to yourself and allow yourself to be less than perfect, allow yourself to have these emotions. And so I used those concepts in terms of how I was relating to myself, if that makes sense.
Yep. And one more question. Do you have any specific touch for lungs?
There's some really good Qigong work that we can do for the lungs. There's also some really good work that you can do on the meridians as well. But if I work on lungs, I'm going to focus more on working on the rib cage, whether it's at the front or whether it's the back. And that's the area that I would work. If someone had areas, yeah, you focus on that area. Absolutely, working on the lungs. Fantastic for helping to release grief. I mean, this kind of work is fantastic for reparative touch. I've worked with a lot of people with different abuse histories as well. And it's been quite mind-blowing how it can be supportive for them because it's safe. It has really clear touch boundaries. It's conscious and it's really kind and it's really adaptable.
Cool. Do you have any final words that you would like to say, Paul?
I think that just being kind to yourself, there's so much happening in the world where it doesn't really matter, you know, what your views are. There's so much confusion and there's so much agitation. There's so much polarization and just being kind to other people, being kind to yourself. Do your own inner alchemical work and be the change from within. I mean, I have big grandeur ideas of how I can change the world and I know that I really can't do that. It's way too big a thing for me. So it's coming back to ourselves and being kind.
Great. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul. That was just absolutely lovely. I just love the standing practice of almost relearning how to stand and just feeling yourself standing and connecting with that feeling of a simple thing like standing.
Well, one thing that I am doing, just a real quickie, is that if you go to my webpage, which you're going to show up later, is that if people do want to find out a bit more, that I'm going to organise 2 free Zoom meetings for people, and people can just sign up with their expressions of interest for that if they want to know more.
So I've just shared both your link and the Pink Seed Co.
Thank you.
Link. So thank you everyone for joining us and thank you so much, Paul. And that was quite grounding and lovely. If you, like Paul has said, he will be in the coffee group. So please join us in the coffee group. Maggie will be putting the links in the chat group. So join Paul there and you can ask him any questions. And the nice thing with the coffee group is your cameras are on, your mics are on, so you can actually chat to each other. I'd like to thank our sponsor for this channel, Reef Kelly Evolve Move Play. It's a really great foundation, so check that out if you need to. And also just please go to the conference page, the Facebook page, and watch this again or share this link with other people. It's part of why it's available for 48 hours for free is to just empower people, to share it with your friends, your community, and it doesn't cost a thing. It just takes a bit of time. If you can afford to buy the conference and you want to sit and really digest this and other talks in your own time and maybe replay every now and then or come back to it a year later, you have lifetime access to it if you buy the library. What I like about the library is that they have learning channels, so I can choose what I want to learn and it will give me the videos that have that topic. I can, I can gift it to myself, but also I can share the link with other people. So in that way, buying the channel, buying the library gives you an opportunity to gift and grow in yourself and for others. And it's a thank you to us at the Embodiment Conference in terms of supporting what we do. So just before we end, Paul, one last question. What is your top tip for embodiment in one sentence or less, please?
And going back to the breath, the breath underpins every pattern in our body if you change your breath.
Nice. Thank you. And next on this channel, we have The Gate of Life, Bringing Your Infinite Potential into Form by Suzanne Yates. So please tune in again to listen to Suzanne. And thank you for all of you who were in the panel. It's lovely to see faces in the panel. And thank you for all of you who have joined this talk. And especially thank you to Paul. It was absolutely lovely. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much, everyone, for joining in. I hope it was useful. It was real fast, and I just like sharing stuff. And cool. Thanks, Richard.
Thank you for a lovely session, Paul. Thank you, Bhavana, and I'm going to close the call now.